Good morning, everyone. Soul to soul and spirit to spirit. Greetings from Guardian Mountain. Well, I happened to remember to bring my microphone up here this week, and so this should be a little clearer recording. This talk, by the way, is talk number 50. Talk 5-0 since last June or July. And this talk is going to be the final talk. Unless something else is revealed or I pushed in a different direction, this is going to be the last talk, talk number 50. Because I need to devote my attention to some other things. And for those of you that have been with me since the beginning, I wish to say thank you. And to Sarah, thank you for the encouragement. And to Helen, your typing these many talks up was just wonderful, quite a service. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is the attitude of being of service. When these talks started, the motivation behind them was that I asked God to pour out a blessing. And now with 50 of them in circulation, I am certain that He did just that. I started my spiritual walk in 1971-1972, and the catalyst was that I was dying from a disease, and one morning at about 2 in the morning I sat on my front porch steps in Pasadena, California. And I just cried out to the universe, God, Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna, anybody, anywhere, I'll do anything if you show me how to live, if you take this thing from me and show me how to live. And in the days and weeks that followed, every little jigsaw piece of life fell together. A presence started working in my life. No longer was it just in Joel's books or just in the tapes or talks, but it became a living reality, moving things around. And I walked around for the next few months, and my only prayer was, Thy will be done. It's your ball game, it's your show. Show me how to live. Show me what you want me to do. How may I be of service? And so pretty much my prayer was, Thy will be done. Because I knew, beyond the shadow of any doubt whatsoever, that of myself I was nothing, but that God could move things through my life, move things around, and rearrange them, and put together something beautiful. Because I was watching it happen. It was nothing I was doing. I just reported it every day for duty and showed up where it felt like He was pointing me to go. And then He moved things around and wonderful things happened. But not only was the outside falling into place, but the inside was adjusting too, because I found a sense of peace that I'd never known my entire life before that. A spiritual peace. And I knew that I could trust this power. I could trust this thing called God. I could trust the presence. And now it's 34 years later. Actually, 33 and a half years later. And Really, the same prayer is my prayer of prayers. Thy will be done. It's your ball game, it's your show. How may I best be of service? Father, use me. God, pour out a blessing. I of myself am nothing, but Father, you can do the works. And so, the topic, really, of today's talk is surrender. I think sometimes we convince ourselves that when we learn enough spiritually, when we have practiced enough principles for long enough time, that we will mount up into heaven and be masters of the universe. But nothing could be further from the truth. The more principles we learn, the more of a servant we should become. We serve God, we serve God's children, we serve the universe. The only way that God will work through me is if I am a servant. God does not work through masters. Oh yes, we call Jesus a master. But remember what it is that he mastered. He said, I have overcome the world. Meaning that he had overcome a false sense of self. But even he said, I of myself can do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the works. And really, if it's good enough for Jesus Christ, it's good enough for me. I of myself am nothing. But if I can become still inside, if I can surrender my will, my ideas, my concepts, my wants, my desires, then God will function through me as service in some capacity for humanity. Now, one note here, a saying that came to me one time is, doing good is not necessarily doing God. In other words, being a human do-gooder and going out to vanquish enemies and relieve the suffering of the world, doing good is not necessarily the same as doing God or allowing God to work through you. And the example of that, of course, is when you are, or I am, an enabler. In the field of alcoholism, it is recognized that when we do something for the alcoholic that they could do for themselves, we are enabling them. It could be that the person we love that has a drinking problem is about to hit an emotional and spiritual bottom in which they will cry out and ask for help and establish a relationship with God and have a spiritual awakening. But we can't bear to see them suffer, so we rush in there and we rescue them and prop them up and give them a little money and help them with this, that, and the other. And we have just prevented their finding God. By doing human good, we have prevented or delayed their finding God. And so we're actually helping them to die without a conscious awareness of God when we rescue them. And those of you that have children know that you can do the same thing with your children. You can rush in there and help them out. And then, of course, they won't learn to stand on their feet because they have you. They won't gain an inner strength because they have daddy or mommy to bail them out. And so doing good is not doing God. God has a whole different set of standards than we do. And so when I say be of service, I don't mean be of service according to your best ideas, or even my best ideas, or even Joel's best ideas. No. No. That's not how it works. Sometimes, when we surrender, and I mean totally surrender, our will and our ideas. God works through us in strange and mysterious ways. We may not find out that we have helped somebody, that somebody has gained from having heard us or known us or just watched us until long after the fact. Somebody may return to us and say, "You know, back in 1983, when you said this, I didn't understand it, but later it came to me, and you were right." Another example is these talks. There's 50 talks that have gone around the world, and I don't know every place that they've gone, or everyone that has received some benefit from them. And so when I say be of service, I mean recognize that of yourself you are nothing, that the human self is nothing, and that within you is this thing called Father, or Presence, or Christ, or the Tao. And be willing to be an instrument for that, to allow that to be of service, and be willing to not even know to whom it goes. We have been told to spend a little time every day in meditation, if only 2 or 3 minutes. Spend a little time in meditation for the world. And we have been told that when we do that and we allow this presence to flow through to whomsoever it will, that someone on the other side of the planet may receive the benefit of that meditation. And we may not ever know who. But God knows who. And God will touch who God will. Or whomever God will. So, surrender means surrender. Surrender your ideas about how you can be of service. Surrender your desires about how you want to be of service. You may be of service to someone that you never meet, and that one person may be raised up to save 50,000 people. And by save, I mean to bring them into an awareness of spiritual being. Save them from the needless suffering of walking around as a human without a God. And someone else who desires to be a great spiritual leader and runs out there and sets up classes and tries to start teaching may help 1 or 2 people, but if that's not how God wants to be of service through them, then they miss the opportunity to help the 50,000. And so you see, we do not have, well, the wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. And so we do not know how, in advance, how we are going to be of service. And that is why, even after 34 years, I still pray, "Thy will be done." It's your ballgame, it's your show. Show me where I can be of service and give me the power to do that. Or, pour a blessing out through me. Pour out a blessing. Let your presence flow through and touch whomsoever it will. Or, I just may get quiet, become still, and let that presence flow without any words, without any suggestions. When Christ told us how to pray, His prayer said and says, "Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And His prayer in the garden, one of the very last prayers He uttered, said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Therefore, this is the way to pray. One of the books that I have read that I dearly love is the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And in their spiritual program, they also suggest that the correct way to pray is not for specific things, but that thy will be done. And there are two parts in there that I just really, really love. And the first part is in the beginning of the book. And it says, never was I to pray for myself, except as my request bore on my usefulness to others. Then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. And that puts it pretty plainly, that I'm never, never, never supposed to pray for myself, unless my request bore on my usefulness to others. In other words, I might pray that God relieve me from selfishness and self-centeredness, so I may better be of service. And that's okay, because I am, again, opening the door to being of service, to allowing God to come through and be of service. But I am not to pray, please God, send me the rent, or please God, heal this disease, or please God, fix my relationship, because you won't receive any results. And the second part in the book, which I really is pretty much the foundation of my life today, says this: every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly, and we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Or as Don used to tell me, we are here to will our will away. In other words, all throughout the day, my prayer or my attitude, my inner attitude must be one of, how may I best be of service? Thy will be done, not mine. That must be my inner attitude. And in doing that, in maintaining that attitude, as we quoted, then only might I expect to receive, but that would be in great measure. And so by doing this, way back there in 1972, I came to see that God did respond. God does take over. And not only is my life rearranged and put back together whole, but those that come looking for answers also receive them. And so, I have lived 52 years, and of those 52 years, 34 of them have been walking this way. And I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle. And so I can tell you unequivocally that it works. That even after all this time, the answer is still the same: surrender. Surrender of my ideas, my concepts, my wants, my desires, any kind of a personal push, any kind of personal will must go. And His will, His love, His presence, His service is what must come. As we are told, I must decrease and He must increase. And it's the same today as it was back then, and it will always be the same. because the answer is to open out a way through which the imprisoned splendor can escape. And we do this through surrender. Do we remember Ruth in the Bible? Whithersoever thou goest, I will go. This is true. Whithersoever thou goest, God goes too. What you're looking for, you're looking with. But to have this as an experience means that you must get that false sense of self, the human will, out of the way. And this we do through surrender. And I suggest that you start every day out reminding yourself that you are stepping a little to the side, that you are going to, well, as Joel says, be a beholder. Now, you can't have your own ideas and your own will and your own best judgments operating and be a beholder too. It won't happen. You can read how I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but it will not be a living, vital experience. It will not be a God experience until you surrender. And so start every day with the idea that I am surrendering. I surrender my will, my best ideas, my wants, my pains, my pleasures, everything to you. And I remained still. I remain a watcher, a beholder. Now, God, you flow through and you serve. You show me where I can best be of service and give me the power to do that. And then just be still for a little while. No ideas of your own. No concepts about where you can do good. Simply be still and allow the Spirit to function. I guarantee you, you will be led to situations where you will be of service. You will see God working through you. Really, the hand of God reaching right up through you and out into this world, this universe. And of course, that which you pour out comes back, heaped up, pressed down, and running over. And so the spiritual presence that you allow to flow through, the bread that you cast on the waters, is the very bread that you will experience, only it is heaped up, pressed down, and running over. So be assured you will have grace and harmony and God, the actual God experience, happening to you. But here's the interesting part. The God experience, having the God experience, is up to you. How much are you willing to surrender? Just that much will you create an opening through which God can happen. Just that much will you begin to have harmony. Let me read to you from this wonderful book called Silence of the Heart, Dialogues with Robert Adams. In it, he describes the state that we're talking about. And he says this: you have to let go, totally, absolutely, completely. You have to let go so completely that you will feel nobody, no mind, no pain, nothing. That is the only time you will make progress. Do not think about this. The thoughts cannot help you. There are no thoughts that can help you realize the self. It is only a total, completely letting go, giving up. What do you give up? You give up the ego, the mind, your opinions about things. That's all you give up. And so Robert Adams is telling us that we need to surrender. We surrender completely. We have no ideas, no opinions, no concepts. We become the watcher. We become a nothing. But out of that nothingness comes the everything. Because the everything that is, the oneself, begins to function through us, through that opening. And so if you do not have that book, I suggest you go get it, because it's really quite wonderful. But more than that, if you have not had that experience, I suggest you surrender, because it is wonderful. What happens is the everlasting arms rush in to pick you up and begin to function, and God becomes a living, real experience. No longer a quotation, no longer something memorized, no longer something you're hearing about on a tape or reading about in a book. God becomes a living experience. And not only that, but we come to experience those everlasting arms providing for our every need. And it's really true. Our supply appears when it's supposed to and right on time. Our relationships straighten out and become peaceful. Of course, because we're not demanding anything, we're being of service. And our health becomes comfortable so that we can function, so that God can function through us. And so this really is the way to create that opening, through the surrender of our self. We surrender our self with a little s, and come into the experience of our self with a capital S. That self cannot function if we are clogged up with self-will and desires and, well, even concepts of good. Concepts of what the world should be like, or what politics should be like, or what the world needs. No, you know, that self can't function if that other stuff is in there. As I was told a long time ago, God can't put his big toe in there. It's too crowded. And so we surrender. We let all that stuff go. We totally let it go and become a beholder. And the self that is God takes over and functions our life. And harmony is restored and peace is restored. And we see that God is a living experience. And we see that God does take over. And we experience the love of God. This is how we experience it, not by asking for it, but by surrender, by creating an opening through which the imprisoned splendor of God's love can escape, can operate, can manifest. Many, many years ago, there was a poster, and it had a very simple, well, two sentences, but it summed up this whole thing quite nicely. And the poster said this: God doesn't care about your ability. God only cares about your availability. And wow, that was so wonderful, because I could see, yes, yes, that's right. It's not about your ability. It never was. Your ability is nothing. Your ability is nothingness. I don't care how great you think you are, or how small you think you are, how little. The fact is that I of myself am nothing, and so your ability is nothing. God doesn't care about it. God doesn't need it. God functions itself in a moment ye are thinking not. And so God cares about your availability. Are you surrendered? Is there an opening through which God can flow? If there is, then you will have the God experience. If there isn't, then you will not. You will just have another concept added on top of your other concepts. And a concept won't heal. A concept won't provide. A concept isn't God. What you know about God is not the same as having the God experience. And so, my friends, surrender. Surrender your will, your life. Allow this great thing to happen, this thing called God. And come into the inheritance. Come to the feast that has been provided for you since before the world was. Come into the feast. You have been invited. What you have done in the past or left undone, none of that has any bearing. The only thing that has bearing is, are you creating an opening? Are you surrendered? If you are, God happens. And God happens, well, you don't even have to ask. There was a philosopher in the 15th century that said, God abhors a vacuum and can't abide a vacuum anywhere under heaven, large or small. All you have to do is become empty of self, and automatically you're full of God. And obviously he had come to the same experience, that when you surrender the small self completely, then you come into the experience of God itself. And so I will suggest to you that if you remember nothing else from all these 50 talks, which are, well, many hours of words, remember this one thing, this one word, surrender. And then go out and do it. Now, we're not in the type of society that promotes surrender. We are in the type of society that promotes overpowering your problems. But I tell you, surrender will do far more to solve any problems that you have than all the human willpower you can muster. And so, practice. This is a principle that we have to practice, because we surrender at 8 o'clock in the morning, and by 10 o'clock we're back wrestling with a problem at work or a problem at home. Somehow we're trying to push our will into, well, we just know what that situation needs, and so we're going to do it. And that's the time to catch yourself and say, wait a minute, at 8 o'clock I decided I was going to surrender, so let me practice that again. Take a deep breath and let it out and say, okay, not my will be done, thy will be done. How may I best be of service? And practice this. In the beginning, I made a game out of it. There was a clock on the factory where I was working, and I looked at it and tried to remember once an hour to take a deep breath and say, thy will be done. How may I best be of service? And, of course, I didn't make it. Sometimes 2 or 3 hours would pass, but that's okay. That's okay. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for practice. In fact, we cannot ever have a personal perfection, but through the practice we can watch the perfect self function every time we remember to let go. And so I continued to practice, and after a while I was able to remember once an hour. And through a life experience that caused me to give 100% of my love, care, and attention to this, I was able to practice this every half an hour, and eventually almost once with every breath. And of course, miracles happen, because when God happens, miracles happen. So, this 50th talk is appropriate, because nothing has changed in these 34 years. Surrender, allowing God to happen. Worked in the beginning, worked in the middle, and is working here, right now, today. The principle has not changed. And that's another thing. If you surrendered once upon a time, and you witnessed God happening and these miracles of life falling into place for you and for countless others, and today that doesn't seem to be happening, it is not God's fault. God is still being God wherever there is an opening. If this is not happening, then you need to surrender again. Somehow you've plugged it up. So search yourself and see what it is that you have fallen into, what desire that you have painted into a spiritual desire when it's really just still a desire of the self, and let it go. Resurrender. This principle will work whenever you work it. Search yourself and find out what has gotten in the way. If necessary, write it down. Maybe tell somebody about it that is also living this way. And then let it go. Create an opening again. Surrender again. And God will rush in. The everlasting arms are still there. They will function again. Now, one final thought before we wrap this up. I can tell you what happens internally when we take such a position. One is that we come into a state of peace because we are resting back on those everlasting arms, and we know it. We are consciously aware that we are supported by God. And so there comes a sense of peace when the struggle ceases, when we become, well, almost like an ice cube floating in water, letting the presence function through us. And not only a sense of peace, but the fears that we struggled with are removed. They just are dissolved. We don't dissolve them. We don't work on them. They're dissolved. We come to see that God is love, and God is love working in my life, through me, in me, and as me, and around me. And so we are free from fear. We enjoy peace of mind. And we come to see something wonderful, that there really is a loving Father, that it has not left us alone to fend for ourselves, but that it is always available, ready to step in as we create this opening. And we discover what Joel told us is true. There is no freedom from. There is only freedom in Christ, or freedom in this conscious awareness of the living God moving things around. Freedom in resting back in the everlasting arms. Freedom in the conscious awareness of the sea of spirit in which we live and move and have our being. This is the path of surrender, the path of letting go, the path of being a beholder, watching God live its life through us. This is the way, the infinite way, in which we watch the infinite taking over and moving things around. And this is the way in which we are free from fear, free from pain, free from having all these desires, free to enjoy life. Because I have found that God does not make us work 24 hours a day. There are moments when there are nothing, there is nothing at that moment to do, but to rest back and enjoy that peace of mind. To enjoy our companions, to enjoy a beautiful sunset or the waves at the ocean, to enjoy a walk beside a stream. There are times when there is nothing to do. God is already being God, and all we have to do is rest in it. And now, my friends, I would leave you with this. Surrender. Surrender and come into the experience of God itself. Come into the experience of your inheritance as a joint heir with Christ. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the entire kingdom. When you rest, when you surrender, when you create an opening, God will give you the kingdom. And now, thank you everyone who has been patient and listened to all these talks. Go and do these things. And my website is www.mysticalprinciples.com. All these talks, all these 50 talks are available there, and many of them have been written and are in document form. And anybody that wishes to communicate with me can always reach me at my email address, which is iamwithin@gmail.com. That's one word, iamwithin@gmail.com. I wish you Godspeed. I know that when you surrender, you too will have the God experience. And then that presence will pick you up and move you out into the world to be a service to all of mankind. And together we will be the infinite presence of God revealing itself on earth.